Thank you, Lala. You were ready to remind me. We can't get started quite yet because we need Sean to jump in here. Thank you for making this work, everybody.
Okay, he should be getting on here in a minute.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, he did say he'd need to phone in, but in my mind, I was assuming here.
No, he said, I'm phoning in. Sherry told me to phone in to you. She didn't tell you? I said, no.
No, I did not tell him that. But it, you know, I'm sure phone in sounded like just phone home. In.
Yeah.
La la la.
You can't say that because Lala's now going, huh?
Yeah, right. That's right.
Okay, so Sherry, how do I say the word? I call it washi. What's it called?
Are you talking about like washi tape?
Yes, that's it.
Washi. You had it right.
Washi. All right. For some reason, I was saying it wrong.
Hey, this is Sean. I'm in.
Hey, Sean, thank you so much.
Sorry about missing that in the agenda, the phone number. That was on me.
You know, we're here for each other.
Okay.
1,000 lashes, man. 1,000 lashes.
Okay, so now we are out of quorum. So you want to
do it? All right. So let's call this meeting to order. I'm going to go by, we're going to say it is 1750. And I'll call by roll. Christian, here. Sean?
Here.
John is absent. Wilma?
Here.
And Mr. Vacant. No, just kidding. We have a vacant spot. So now we have the Pledge of Allegiance. Ms. Sherry?
Yep, getting it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. So we have an approval of the agenda. I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
John is absent. Wilma?
Aye.
Perfect. We have our consent agenda. We have a motion.
I move to approve.
Thank you. All second. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
John is absent. Wilma?
Aye.
Perfect. We are now open for public comment. Should we have any?
No public here.
Any public dialing in from somewhere else?
I see there is no one else.
Okay. I can't recognize everybody's other numbers. Anyways, okay. So now we're on to reports. Do any board members have reports? I'm good. Wilma?
No.
Sean?
Big negative.
Okay. Ms. Sherry, you're up.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned in my written report that there is a new piece of legislation that has cropped up. And it's a pretty significant piece of legislation that could pretty dramatically affect our schools. I'm a little reeling from it at the moment. I expect that the organizations we belong to will start holding some webinars to talk about what actions we can take. You know, talking to legislators, writing letters. Some of the really significant pieces includes you cannot have any independent study students from outside the county of which you are authorized. Period. End of story. So that would mean the Portola students could no longer be in our school. And this is, it says it's in another year that it would take place. So it's not overnight. And again, this is just the beginning of that legislation. It goes to its first committee meeting on April 28th. So over the next week and a half, I'm hoping that we do some letter writing and, you know, calling Megan and Brian Dolly and, you know, just keep it in motion here. That would be, you know, difficult for Doyle to not have those students as part of the enrollment. Jared, I know you, it's 143 pages. I read a 2-page summary. But it would require independent, and this is really focused on non-classroom based programs. It requires a lot more interaction. Like they're talking, what's in there refers to every 3 days, a teacher needs to have contact with the student and be reporting regularly to that parent. You know, is that necessarily bad? I don't know. But I think what's, you know, what's out there right now is a little concerning. We'll probably be, I want to talk to some of the board members in Plumas Unified and try to go back and see if we can't again approach them about another charter. If this is getting legs, so then we can still have the third group. You know, of course, I thought, well, can't we just do independent study out of Doyle and still work with those kids? But what's written in this proposed bill is you can't collect ADA for any students outside of Lassen County.
So, if you're in an independent study charter.
Say that again, Jared.
If you're an independent study charter school.
Right.
And also, if you're an independent study charter school, you cannot have more students than your sponsoring district.
Right, so Fort Sage has somewhere around 140 students. And so Doyle would be fine because they would no longer be a non-classroom based school. They would become a regular classroom-based school, and then none of these rules have anything to do with that.
And then also, if you're an independent study charter school, they are reducing your ADA per student, depending on the percentage you have as independent study.
So reductions in funding, we'll be watching and looking and, you know, I've been doing this for 23 years is what I figured out. And there's a few years where we haven't had a fight or some attack on charter. But we keep figuring it out and keep moving forward and doing what's best for our students. So I expect to be able to do that. You know, I've talked to Kelly a little bit. The prison closing, you know, could have an impact on Susanville's program with enrollment employees. You know, we're taking a couple hits right now. I think once again, unions are threatened by us. That hasn't stopped. I think the pandemic slowed things down for a period, but I think especially now that they lost kids to, you know, a lot of kids chose a charter school because they knew what they were doing in this pandemic. And, you know, I think most of them will go back to their regular school. Parents really don't want to be homeschool parents that aren't homeschool parents. But I think it's shaken things up enough to really make this kind of effort. Anyway, so you'll be hearing more. I'll be putting information out. I want to carefully think about it. You know, I got the law yesterday, which is 140 something pages. And it will probably take the weekend to digest that a little bit and think about how to share that out and ask our families to maybe take some action. Yay. So that's just that depressing. And thank you all for your support. You know, I've had some really complicated challenges recently. You know, my husband's appendix burst on top of everything else going on, which dragged me to have to drive him to Reno every day for his radiation after that, because then he was on painkillers. So that was a hard time. And then my brother-in-law passed away, which required me to take a quick trip down to Tucson. So it's been a run. And then now we have a big attack. So just need a couple nights in the hot tub and get to it. With
I was going to say, just a couple nights?
Yeah. Okay. That's it, Christian. Thank you.
Oh, that makes me so sad. And I'm going to play dumb, but when did the prison close?
We got notices this week, 2 days ago, I think, that the prison is expected to close. What's the date? It's a full another year, but when is it? Does anyone know?
June 30th, 2022. They're only looking at CCC right now, not High Desert. But it sounds like none of the employees were notified, you know, right before the press announcement. The Dollies, I just read a statement from Megan and Brian Dolly that, you know, the local legislative had not been notified. So they are, I think they're going to try to fight it, or they're at least pushing back on, hey, we want to know why this was a decision, because the CCC was not even on their list of potential closures. So there are other institutions that are not at the capacity that CCC's at, and it's one of the biggest fire training camps in the state. So it's interesting. So
okay, so another stupid question. There's a prison and there's a CCC.
So there's two prisons in Susanville. There's High Desert, which is the maximum security prison, and then CCC is the medium to low level offenders, which is, they're right next door to each other. You could probably combine them into one compound. So, and then there's the federal prison in Herlong, which isn't affected by this.
Does anyone know what the CCC stands for?
California Correctional Center.
Oh, I thought it was conservation.
It's actually CDCR because it's a rehabilitation. I'm not sure what CDCR or okay. But
thank you. And where does your daughter work, Wilma?
She works for Cal Fire.
Okay.
She did work there, but several years ago.
Okay. I didn't know that she wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Cal Fire sponsors that big fire camp through there. So we're losing not only those inmate crews, but the training with it.
Because California is not going to burn anymore. It's all burned up.
Right. That seems incredibly short-sighted and wow.
The so Facebook posts all that money towards that $550 million towards like fire prevention is where it's going. That's what I read. And they also closed a prison in Tracy or Turlock. That's the other one that got closed.
Tehachapi, I think, as well. There's a few that have come out that were not, the areas were not notified about it prior to. So it was not handled very well. I guess the prison union, the CCPOA, didn't even know it was coming. So.
Wow.
Okay. So, tough times. To be continued.
There's no reason given. They just were closing.
They're saying budget cuts, but they haven't seen the budget of how that decision was made. So.
Got it. Okay, well, aren't we a cheery bunch today? All right, so now that I'm done with my dumb questions, we will move on. Sorry, I'm bouncing between my agenda and the screen.
Sorry, it's my fault that I didn't put it in the right spot, oh, Christian. I know that's true.
Stop it. And now my screen hates me, so hang on.
Okay. So we are on for Valerie from DMS for the finance report.
And Christian, thank you for asking those questions that I was thinking too. So I appreciated the dialogue and conversation. And
well, no worries.
Yeah, good deal. Well, good to join you guys tonight. We have the monthly financial update that I'll be presenting for both schools. We're at the point in the fiscal year where there really aren't any major issues to highlight or illuminate to you guys. We're closing out the fiscal year and we're really focused on crafting your budget for next year for the July budget. And Sherry is rolling up her sleeves and getting busy on that work. So the summary narrative is just that you're looking at the actuals through February 28th. In your cash on hand for Long Valley is you're going to be ending with 204 days cash on hand projected. Thompson Peak, 168 days cash on hand projected. And just reiterating the strong workforce program grant that you guys just received. So we're excited about that. And that was added to your budget. We did submit both of the schools' funding determinations this week to the CDE. The due date for that was in June, but we had a goal to get those submitted earlier. So those have been turned in and don't anticipate any issues with that at all. We have submitted all your paperwork for your PPP loan forgiveness as well. And we're following up with we haven't submitted the package yet. We're working on the details. That should be completed maybe within the next week or so. Lillian and Sherry have been working on that, getting that package finalized. And again, we're just looking to the LCAP budget, the LCAP and the budget. And next month, Sherry will be presenting to you the expanded learning grant plan that the board needs to review and consider for approval. So that's funding that will be for next year, but we want to have that, it needs to be board approved by the 1st of June. So that's kind of the narrative, and you guys have the packet there, and I'm happy to field any questions that you might have on any of the expenditures. But again, everything is as to be expected at this point in the year.
Thank you very much. Sherry, just kind of a side note, how are we going to do our budget for next year with the prison closing and
So we got Valerie here. Valerie, how should we, or what would we do different? It's at least a year off.
Okay, right.
Right.
So that's going to, So we're going to just try to monitor that. We're, you know, if it's going to be closing in the end of 2022, you know, we might want to be pretty conservative in our budgeting in the multi-years and maybe take into account that there could be some decreased enrollment for those years and just try to take a conservative approach on that. Right. This is kind of a new curveball. So one thing we are trying to do when we're planning your budget is we're going to look at it under two lenses. We're looking at it, what's your ongoing revenue that's always going to be there year in, year out. And then we're also going to look at your one-time funding a little bit separate, because we don't necessarily want to commingle those and have you guys potentially overspending in the years where you're getting all this one-time CARES funding and ESSER funding and that kind of stuff, because it is a lot of money. And it would be easy to craft a budget that might not take into account that these funds only have about, you know, 2 or 3 years spend on them. So this is new news, the prison closure, and I'm sorry to hear it. And we'll definitely just plan accordingly and work that into the multi-year.
Right. Budgets. And we have to be looking at what that AB 1360, if it takes off in any way.
Right.
What impact that might have. But can we just get through getting our USDA loan before we're impacted with reduced enrollment
for
all of these reasons, right?
Sure. Yeah. And you're on the home stretch with that one, right?
Yep. Yeah.
That's exciting. So yep.
Come on
through. Yeah.
Whitney, I've got another question for you. Sorry, I'm backtracking.
That's okay.
Maybe you're not the right one to ask, but how many of our families are going to be affected by this closure? Do we have an idea? Is there any way to support them moving forward?
Kelly and I had this conversation a little bit earlier, so Kelly might have, you know, a ballpark for you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Whitney probably can help too. I guessed like a third, and that was probably even like a low ball, to be honest. Yeah, like a lot of the high school. I mean, yeah, I'd say a third.
Wow.
Maybe a fourth, but yeah. I don't know. Whitney, what do you think?
That sounds about right. Well, and I don't know if they're going to, for some of the folks that are close to retirement, if they're going to try to offer some type of incentive to retire sooner. I have quite a few friends that work out there, and, you know, they're just getting information as it's coming down. Like I said, they hadn't been given a heads up, it seems like. And so people will put in transfers. They're hoping to guarantee a position for everybody, but that means relocation. High Desert, usually the other prison has some openings, but it just depends on when academies filter through. If it, you know, it's right around the time of a new academy, they always ship the new guys up to High Desert. So
this is absolutely a final decision. There's no possibility it could be triggered off or reversed.
I don't know.
Okay.
They have a pretty powerful union, so I wouldn't say it's impossible, but some of the Facebook rumors going around are it's a retaliation against Lassen County because they have the highest number of recall signatures against Newsom. They're pretty, you know, we're a red county for the most part. So there's all those rumors flying around. Who knows if that's actually true or not, but.
Okay.
I heard actually at a meeting I was in earlier today that because some of the people that work at CCC who have seniority could actually bump people out of High Desert. So, I mean, it's not just going to affect families that work at CCC. It could also affect families from High Desert, which, you know, in addition to all of that, you know, this could be a friend of yours. And if you have seniority and they haven't worked there that long, you could actually bump another person's family. And so there's a lot of emotion to it also, not just the fact that, you know, they didn't know about it and they kind of came around. So it really has the trickle effect in many ways.
Yeah. And it's not just the officers, because that's a lot of the people that are thinking of. It's all the free staff, you know, the cooks, the office staff, right. the groundsmen, you know, it's because those positions aren't as easily transferable.
That's
just such a shame. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, there's some way that as we move forward with this and more details come through that we can, through the associations we have, we can find other charter schools in some of the areas kids are going. and just maybe help the parents negotiate that, or at least give them information. I don't know, because that's just so weird.
That's a really good idea, Christian. And Kelly, maybe you can talk to a couple of families that you are aware of and just ask what kind of support they might need so that you can prepare for that. Yep. Right. You know, with having a counselor, maybe kids need extra support because all of a sudden their ground is getting shaken. So,
Yeah.
No, those are things we could do to support them. Maybe this gives a little leverage, like, come on, let's make up those credits before you move away.
How many seniors can we graduate this year? Juniors, can we graduate?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, sorry about all that. Just eye-opening. No, okay, good. So I think that puts us back at item A under informational for the Golden State Seal of Merit. Mm-hmm.
So students, seniors, can receive a golden seal that goes on their diploma when they've met certain requirements for academic scores during high school. And so let me pull that. I wanted to tell you how many students we had. We have put in for 7 students at Thompson Peak that will get that golden seal. Yay.
Awesome. And
in Long Valley, there are 5 students who are eligible academically to receive that. So that's really nice. I think, Kelly, they get some kind of medallion or something, right? Isn't that what we've been doing?
Yes. Elle has worked her magic with people, but they're, we get this really nice medallion, and then we actually pay to get them engraved with Thompson Peak Charter. So we really make them so nice, and it comes like with the yellow ribbon or gold ribbon. And it's really, really classy and nice.
Right. So they have that on their diploma. They get the medallion as part of our ceremony, and we try to make a big deal. Anyway. That's it on Golden State Seal.
Okay. Art project in Susanville.
Cool. So, I don't know if you want to introduce this, Sherry. So we do, one of our paraeducators is so just like artistically gifted. And I think we started in January. Putting art kits together for families to do. And so they have the opportunity to do them on site or at home. They could pick up the art kits, you know, with COVID. She made a little PowerPoint. I don't know if you want me to share that.
Sure.
It kind of explains it. And it's super popular. We would have like students come in for sure, but at least like 30 people would come pick up the kits, and we did it K-12. So everybody could be involved. Now let me share my screen.
One month I looked at all the different video instruction for a painting project. So the staff member has really stepped it up. So if a student wants to do it at home and can't join live, they can watch the video and get the instruction. So it's been really popular. We had advisory council meeting today, and the families just absolutely love that.
Will you let me share it? Give me permission to share it.
Did you, is it not? I thought I did already. Okay, sorry. That's good. It's good, Kelly.
So here is, we sat down and we did January through June. And so we did 2 projects. We did them by K-2 and then all the things that we needed. And these crafts are like all so different. I'll show you what she did, but that's kind of how we organized it is we just did 2 a month. And then can you see this now, or do I have to share it again? The PowerPoint?
I'm not seeing it.
Okay, I have to share it again, I guess. And so here is her little PowerPoint that she made. It's like so cute. So I love when people do art in the definition. So we, their classes were broken up into age groups, appropriate groups offered twice a month and Thursday. So we tied it to book club to help get students, you know, reading and then followed by book club. And it was actually pretty successful. And then they were able to pick up the art kits home, taught by Melissa Folk, and it cost 78 cents per student per art project. So pretty cost effective.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So we did it, you know, in the afternoons, and this is kind of the timeline. And then we had a specific day and time they picked it up each week to like really make it stay easy for the parents to know when they picked it up. So take home art kits, we sent out a parent square and let them know that they could either come to class or they could RSVP to pick it up. And then we put them in the bags with like canvases, brushes, just everything that they would need. And then they got to follow along with Miss Ash on this awesome video that she made. So I will share that for a second too. And here we go. She's just like,
is so she funny. Ash or Falk?
So her married name is Ash or Folk, but I think she's transitioning to Ash.
Okay.
So we shared all of her videos. So these are just some of the, like this sixth grade here was one. And she just goes over like how to do it step by step, kind of like a paint and sip kind of thing where you,
Hey guys, how are you today?
I don't know if you can hear it too,
today
but
we are going to do this really cute cactus that
like this is one that she did for there or for the sixth grade painting. And it's so step by step
painting.net. She has all kinds of awesome stuff.
Really just.
And if you want to paint the side of your canvas too, go right ahead. Some people don't like the way that it looks when the side of their canvas.
I'm going to skip ahead to what she did. And but really like step by step.
You're going to paint
through it. And just really meticulous. And that's just one of them. But yeah, and so they're always up there so they can keep looking at them. Let me go back to our PowerPoint really quickly. Our projects are planned ahead of time. They take about 45 to 90 minutes. I've been painting things like that. So these are some of the things that she did. Again, like they're just so different. So K through second, she did like this one in the middle. They actually did watercolor, then they had a straw and then they would just blow on it and then it would just go around and then they put like googly eyes on it. Just things that I could not think of. And the clothespin thing was really cool. This one was for third through fifth grade. So she, painting and this little turtle and this love wreath was totally excellent.
Sounds great.
Right? She did these coasters. So we bought tiles and she literally did like coasters. So like the students would come in and be like, oh, like one student did trains and she would print them and then like put them on top and they'd have four little train coasters. And it was incredible. Paintings too. She's doing this for setting this one over the summer, this 4th of July wreath made of clothespins. Let's see, for high school, she's gonna do tie-dye next. She did painting with the trees and she's just so awesome. I can't even handle it. And this is some of the student art that they produced. It's totally crazy how awesome.
That is really cool.
Right? And then this is the last one. Yeah. And the kids just absolutely love it. The parents, the kids, they do it together and it has been such a bright spot.
I thought it was great. I thought everyone needed to see what they've been doing and it's going to continue.
Yeah, we're going to do it over the summer. And we also did the same with science kits. We didn't do videos, mm-hmm. But we put science kits together with little like homemade experiments.
So Kelly's saying they're doing it over the summer, but what will happen is we'll add that to our extended learning plan.
I'm just thinking of that.
Yes.
That was the expanded learning opportunity grant.
Yay. Committee today. that the families want to continue getting science kits and art kits. And that's a way we can extend learning and have them involved and engaged over the summer. So Thompson Peak is going to do that as one of their things. So, and I think one of the high schoolers who teach 3D printing wants to have an occasional 3D printing workshop over the summer. So there was definite support for not having a full-blown academic program, but they felt like engaging the kids in these things that they're interested in would be a value.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was the best year for extracurriculars, most certainly. It was so great.
Yeah,
anyway, that's great. I'll be tucking it every other group as we go forward to find out what they're interested in doing. But today was the meeting at Thompson Peak, and that was really, you know, pretty special stuff that they wanted to do. So yay. Yeah. Kelly, so Kelly, that has to be approved by the board next month, but we'll have that written up as some of your expenditures.
Excellent.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Kelly, for, and will you please extend the thanks to your paraeducator who's doing this, because that's amazing and it's wonderful for our kiddos.
Yes, I will. She loves it. It's like rewarding for her too. It's rewarding for everyone.
Good. Good, good. Okay. Item C, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
California Healthy Kids California Survey.
Healthy Kids Survey. We've looked at other ones before, and we just received parent results pretty late just now, within the last month. And so, Kelly, you're going to present yours. Just give us some highlights from it.
Yeah. Do I need to show my screen?
If you want to.
Okay. Let me get up. Oops, sorry. So we had 22 parents take it, or and I think it was 12 for elementary and then 10 for high school. And it was very positive. So let me... kind of the same mirrored what the students said, and I don't know if you guys remember ours, but that it was a safe environment and things like that, that they felt that they were cared for and seen and things like that. But let me just share this with you really quickly. Okay, so 12 elementary, 10 high school. And so some of the highlights that I saw that was really great was, you know, 78% keeping me informed about remote learning. You know, we talked today in our leaders, our advisory council, about newsletter. So that's just another way that we're going to really try to keep our parents informed. But communication, I think, is always hard for schools. My child is responsive to child social emotional needs. Ezra, and our president of our advisory council, how concerned are you about your child's well-being? 44% said slightly concerned, but he pointed out, I don't know if you remember, but in the student one, we had, I think it was like 90% that felt like they didn't have a purpose. There was like a real showing of like emotional stress or, you know, needing some type of support. And there's the discrepancy there, right? Like half of those parents don't recognize that their child's well-being might be, you know, under some kind of duress. So he pointed that out today, and I was like, oh, well. You know, that's so, you know, that's just something that us teachers have to be even more, you know, on top of and aware of and provide support where we can.
Mm-hmm.
School staff treats parents with respect, 90%. Treat students with respect, 95%. And then the school has adults who really care about their students, 91%. I just think that we have that general trend of that's the thing that we do really well is just a happy place to be, and the care and thoughtfulness I think is felt like immediately when you come in.
Thanks, Kelly. And I know that Jared and Misty worked on the one for Long Valley. I wasn't sure who was going to share.
Yeah, that's going to be me, I guess. hold on, I didn't think about it, so I'm pulling it up real quick. Hold on.
Jared just pull it up?
He did. Thanks, Jared. What a pal.
You're going to make it larger, right, Jared? There we go.
Okay, so we had 28 parents You guys, I'm the worst at this. Sorry, you guys, I'm not prepared, Jared. I just was trying to look. So 81% disagree that the program is requiring too much. So that's good. I mean, it sounds like they were pretty on board with the learning. So the doing a good job keeping me informed about remote learning, that was either a strongly agree, only 5 disagreed. So that's another real big highlight. We had good communication, I guess. My child receives adequate instruction, which is pretty important. The parents felt pretty strongly, which is interesting because the students didn't necessarily, they kind of sat on the fence a little bit, but the parents were, felt like they, their students were receiving adequate work. So they're hopeful about the future. That's, you know, not very many disagree. So that's pandemic. How concerned are you about your child's safety when they return? So for us, that's probably, this is probably not really, because ours are already on site. So let's see. Does it go on to page 2, Jared? Is that it?
That was it.
Okay. Mental well-being. That was pretty important too. Honestly, the scores, just like TPC, they're pretty positive overall with the parents. I didn't see the same concerns that I saw when I read the students, which is kind of was interesting because you could tell the morale of the students was really down, but the parents are pretty pleased, which is a little bit surprising just because the parents, you know, had to have their kids at home for some of that time and that feedback wasn't always positive. So it was good to see that. For the most part, there was good support from the parents. That could have just been the, you know, 28 that filled out. But hey, we'll take it.
Christian, I don't know if anybody had questions for any of them.
Any questions for our fearless leaders? Okay, so that will take us to the funding determination for both LBS and TPC.
So I just wanted to document this. I sent as part of the packet the actual determinations that were submitted. And what you can see on there is that we qualified for the 100% funding based on the percentages, right? We're always trying to make sure we spend at least 40% of our budget on certificated salaries and then 80% of our budget on instruction related. And we made both of those without any, we weren't just even skirting by. I think we did pretty well on those. Valerie, you're nodding your head because yes, we did.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
We did. So, so that should automatically get us 2 years on both schools.
Correct.
Without question at this point. Right. And then we'll see in that AB 1316, there's mention that there may be changes to this funding determination. And we'll just find out as we move along.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we're good for 2 years.
We are. We are.
So, definitely. Okay, Christian.
That'll work. Okay, so then that gives us item E, correspondence, a denial of J13 for Thompson Peak Charter, waiver of attendance days.
So the state looked at our appeal to get a free 2 days waived because we had closed Thompson Peak due to the fires up there. The fires and the air quality was so bad. So we took 2 days and asked then for them to be waived due to those circumstances. And they said, well, look at lady, we can see on your calendar, you have a couple snow emergency days. Have you used them yet? No. Okay, you've used them now. So now we have to add 2 days in. And that's what you approved earlier in the consent agenda was updating that calendar for those 2 days. We still haven't heard about Long Valley. I'm hearing more and more schools get their results. They had actually asked us a couple of questions, and it looks like the way I explained something wasn't clear, so I had to clarify for them. So I'm waiting to hear. They want to know what we spent our days on. Well, maybe being closed for a week for COVID used up some emergency days. Anyway, and that was just at the point where the school year started. We weren't ready to spring into distance learning, so we lost some days there. So it may be that we have to add a few days onto that calendar, but hopefully we'll know soon so we can answer everybody's pleas for what's our last day of school.
Now, is it the teachers that are asking more so than our students?
Misty, what do you get? Misty and Elle, you must be bombarded with people asking.
Yeah, a lot of parents really want to know because, you know, they plan things and know. I mean, teachers too, but we've got a lot of parents that are like, do we know when we're getting out yet?
Well, there's so much that has been unknown this last year and a half that, you know.
So true. Yeah.
Any little bit of control they can have is probably much needed.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. So if I'm correct, we're on to action items. Is that correct?
We are. And can I just speak for a second, Christian? Of course. So we have Joanne Fountain from DMS has joined us this evening. She is the CEO, right? At DMS. And because this action item A is about a renewal, you're approving a renewal for our agreement with them. And I asked her to come and introduce herself and just talk to us a little bit, and she can answer any questions that you might have.
You bet. Thank you, Sherry. Thanks for having me tonight. I always enjoy board meetings and hearing all the wonderful things you guys are doing with your students. I was originally a teacher, elementary school teacher, so all that art was really fantastic. And then I was a director of the school, and now with DMS as the CEO. So I'm nice to meet most of you here. I know Elle and Sherry, and I think that's about it. So yes, our contract language stayed the same. Pricing stayed the same. It is for a 2-year period. So yeah, we are just looking forward to continuing the partnership. Valerie's done a fantastic job partnering with Sherry. She joined, when did you join the team?
At the beginning of this fiscal year. Yeah, in July.
In July, I have to admit, I have a hard time keeping track of time. So yes,
July
already. I can't believe
I know.
Yes, I believe they've made a terrific team there, and we're always trying to improve any areas that we need to improve upon with Sherry and Elle, and improve upon our processes together with you guys. So, any questions on the contract, or any comments, or anything else you'd like to see from us? Please let me know.
I'm good. I just want to say thank you for all your guys' work. We appreciate working with Valerie and, you know, and everybody there. Thank you. So thank you.
You are welcome.
It's definitely been our pleasure. I enjoy it. We have our Friday check-in calls. And then Elle and I are also in a separate training together. So that's been really enjoyable too, to get to work alongside her. So, and I'm like Joanne, I've never been a teacher, but I love hearing about the program and the exciting things you guys are doing. So love just being a little part of it.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to move up to action items. So action item A is the discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the Delta Managed Solutions Agreement for July 1, 2021 through 6/30, 2023 for our back office services. Do I have any questions or discussion? And if not, then do I have a motion? I'll make a motion.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay, Sean. We'll give you the second. How's that?
That sounds wonderful.
All right, perfect. So all in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
And John is absent. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us tonight. You're welcome to hang out, or you can, you know, go about your business.
We'll say goodnight. Okay. Thank you. Enjoy your evening. Bye.
Okay. So action item B, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the program funding agreements, such as for our bus driver training and teacher
induction.
Thank you. See the glasses. Discussion.
I'm just going to say this is, you know, we year after year, we pay for things and then people leave. And we pay significant amounts of money for that. And I want a little commitment if we're doing that. We're investing serious money and time. And I would like them to hang out for a little bit for our efforts to do that.
I think that would be great. Anything else?
I'll make a motion that we approve it as written.
Thank you, Wilma. I'll second. So all in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
And John is absent. On to item C, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the updated COVID safety plan, which includes updates to policy 5010, 5011, and the 2012 IIPP addendum.
And in the recommendation sheet, I summarized what those changes were, but in the grand scheme of things, it's about not doing the temperature checks when students come to school and asking them the questions, asking instead that that happens at home. And same for employees. And then putting a little more space between, or less space between students. The state has come out and made a recommendation saying that 3 feet is sufficient. So while it, like when they eat or when they're without masks outside for recess, still keeping 6 feet when they're maskless, but when they're masked and in the classroom, dropping that down to 3 feet. And I want you to know that got sent to families on Parent Square. All the staff got an email about it. And I've heard nothing. I got a couple of hearts that they liked the post. But that was, you know, one parent said, thank you for all you guys do to keep our kids safe. So nobody had an issue with making those changes.
All right, so I'll make a motion, to approve as stated. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
And John is absent. Thank you. Item D, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the updated foster youth policy 6010.
Right, and in my summary, we just updated it. We've been changing the language. You know, Lala is helping me go through every policy sort of one at a time and make sure we update the language because we changed to having 2 schools operated by Long Valley Charter School. So just, you know, slowly doing that update. And Lala discovered we didn't address when a student turned 18 that now they may have their educational rights to be making their own decisions. So that got added, and that was the only changes to the policy.
Awesome. Thank you, Lala, for all your work on that. That's got to be time consuming and tedious. But I appreciate it because I'm not doing it. So do I have a motion? I'll make the motion to accept as written. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Emma. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
And John is absent. Awesome. Okay, now we are on to item E, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of remaining as part of a class action lawsuit, RISE versus State of California, regarding the funding of non-classroom-based charter schools, Young, Mini, and Core.
Elle, did you want to talk about this?
Yeah. So we have been notified that we are part of a class action lawsuit that has been brought on actually by our attorney firm. And so the benefits of this is that, one, we don't have to pay for all of the legal fees because of the class action. And if it's found that the state of California was wrong in holding us to the ADA from February of 2020 and the deferrals, we could benefit from this and gain that money to our current ADA. So if we continue to be part of the class action, we do give up our right to ever sue on our own behalf. And I was part of a webinar with the actual schools and parents that are included in this class action lawsuit, and they are really encouraging everybody that is part of it to stay with it because the strengths in numbers are a huge benefit. And so I think this is actually going to be heard already too in like July, I believe, which is pretty fast moving.
Right. Mary, what are your thoughts?
I absolutely support that we stay with the group here. We ended up taking that PPP loan for exactly this reason. We're being paid on ADA that is lower than what it should have been if it had been done at the right time. When the state made that move, I don't think they intentionally didn't want to pay us. I think, you know, they're used to regular schools. A regular school's population doesn't change that much. So by doing an ADA calculation early for a regular district school, it would not have mattered. But our school grows through the year, and so it really had a pretty dramatic effect on our ADA for this whole year. And the this group that brought the suit made the case that the state is contractually obligated to pay us on ADA at the end of period two, calculated at period two, which is normally in mid-April.
Okay. Any other thoughts, questions? Okay, so I'll make the motion to approve, as stated, to stay a part of this class action lawsuit. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
And John is absent. Item F. Discussion and possible action regarding the approval of updated assessment plans in response to waivers by the State Board of Education. Anybody got anything?
Whitney, did you want to talk about this at all? I know we didn't discuss the conversation.
That's okay. Yeah, sure. So with the majority of schools in California, not in our area, but you know, in Southern California, still being on distance learning or students not on campus, they had some concerns with how to do state testing. So there is a waiver for the CASP assessment for ELA and math, where schools will not be penalized if they do not test. We are proposing to go ahead and test our students because we need the data for our charter renewal, as well as, you know, how to best serve our students to see where they're really at. So we are going to start testing on Monday. we've been doing scheduling and getting everything lined out. So our 3rd through 8th and 11th graders will take the ELA and math assessment. And then we are going to have our 11th graders take the science test. That has been waived as well. We thought about excluding those students or, you know, not having them test as well, but they are required to take the science test at least once during their high school years. And so if they don't test this year, we could be in a predicament next year with, oh, they're seniors, oh, they graduated early, or, you know, have moved, and we would still be on the hook for those students to test, and then we wouldn't meet our participation rate. So we are going to have our 11th graders do the science test, and hopefully everything goes well on Monday, and it'll be a couple crazy weeks, but we'll get it all done.
And we're in, so we're not in that boat, right? We're in back, we are at school. We're not in the same boat as schools that haven't all returned or on a super hybrid kind of learning plan. So we'd like to move forward with it.
Well, and it does really give us as teachers and educators coming back in a picture of where these students are after a couple years of craziness too. So, I mean, it can't hurt.
Well, and I think part of it is to be able to take these scores now. When we go to renew our charter in 3 years, we need to have 3 years worth of data to be presenting and looking at. And I think it's to our benefit to have the scores here, because I think all we'll ever do is grow from this experience. So I don't think it's a bad thing for us to do it at this time.
Okay. So I just have a question that came up. So if they have the opportunity to waive it, so does that mean this is still going to be our baseline year? Or will that actually be next year?
And you know what, Misty, who the heck knows in the grand scheme of things what the state will come out with? Because what is the school down the street that chooses not to do it because they're not even in? What will they use as the baseline? I don't have the answer to that. You know, I think the state will have to be pressed to come up with some alternative. But I, you know, in the interest of the other piece that Whitney and the leaders and I talked about is just being in practice. You know, some students will waive this. We don't have the penalty if we don't make 95%, which is usually what hangs over us. But I think it's the right thing, getting students back in practice. They missed taking that test last year. If they don't take it this year, that means they've had 2 years of being out of practice. That's like going back to the drawing board with taking that exam. So that's why we wanted to do this and make sure you were all aware and okay.
All right, I'll make a motion to move forward with our testing in regards to the waivers that are possible. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
And John is absent. So at this point, we're looking at future items, which is our expanded learning funds plan, LCAP hearings, and our updated wellness policy. Am I good to adjourn us?
Right, just the reminder that this Saturday we have Brown Act training at 9 a.m.
How long is that supposed to be again? Sorry.
So I said to her 1 hour, no more than 1.5.
Oh, thank you.
The brush up. Nobody here is a new board member. So I think she can really present it as a refresher course.
Awesome. For some reason, I was thinking you said 4 hours and I was crying.
No, that's 4 hours.
No. That was if we did it in little 15-minute increments, that's how many hours worth of curriculum there was from the one CSDC. But
gotcha. Okay, good.
Okay.
Okay, so let's adjourn. It is 18:52. Thank you everyone for all you guys are doing and taking care of our kids. You guys have a great night. Mm-hmm.